It's The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick with you today. Throughout the 2016 presidential campaign, President Trump promised to bring manufacturing jobs back to the U.S. He made the success of America's auto industry a big part of his rallies in Michigan and elsewhere.
General Motors announced that they're adding or keeping 900 jobs right here in Michigan, and that's going to be over the next 12 months. And that's just the beginning, folks. In fact, I told them that's peanuts. That's peanuts.
Those high-flying fortunes for U.S. cars are now reversing somewhat. The industry has now posted six consecutive months of declining sales. After a period of growth capped by nearly 2 years of record sales, has the U.S. auto industry peaked? Joel Kutcher-Gershenfeld joined me to provide insights into all of this. He served as a consultant to the United Auto Workers and to Ford over the last two decades. He's currently a professor in the Heller School for Social Policy and Management at Brandeis University. And Joel says when it comes to U.S. cars, it may not yet be time for long-term concern.
The auto industry has always been a cyclical industry, so there will be years that are better or worse. And in that sense, this is nothing new to the industry. On the other hand, there are some longer-term trends that may also be going on, but I wouldn't jump to any immediate fears just because sales are down in the short run.
Well, in the short run, what are we looking at? Are people driving less? Gas prices? What's got the slump going these days?
Well, gas prices actually have been quite favorable for the industry, but there's some of people driving less. In fact, there's some evidence that the next generation of drivers is less likely to own a car. So that's one of those longer-term trends that's on the horizon. And then there's combinations of technology and globalization that are impacting the industry. But again, I wouldn't read too much into the short-term numbers, even though in the long-term, those are big issues.
Let's talk about some of those longer-term issues. Technology, you mentioned, driverless cars are just around the corner. There is a lot of uncertainty in terms of trade, in terms of NAFTA, free trade deals. So what are planners in the industry looking at in the long-term that maybe has them nervous?
It's amazing that driverless cars, which seemed far away on the horizon, are now just around the corner. But it is true. It's happening, and it will be a sea change for the industry. The sense with which somebody attaches their identity to their car comes with ownership and certain patterns that go back to Henry Ford's commitment to bringing mobility to the middle class. And that could all change. It's not that mobility is going away. In fact, that may increase. But the fact that it's car ownership that gets attached to it is what's on the table.
The sharing economy is huge in the auto industry, everything from Uber to Car2Go. It's not fashionable to own anymore.
Well, and that's certainly the generational change that I was talking about. And, you know, it does mean that the fleet of cars on the street may be smaller but used more intensively, which then requires a fleet that's more durable, which again takes you down that path of that power by the hour kind of model. And it combines with other changes that are happening in society. We are seeing both the forces of globalization that are happening on a large scale, but also movements towards increased local self-sufficiency, whether it's around digital fabrication or other technologies. And those are on an accelerating curve as well.
At the same time, Joel, you mentioned the forces of globalization. There are forces pushing back against it. President Trump pulled the United States out of the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership. He's pledging to renegotiate NAFTA with Mexico and Canada. What are automakers looking for here as the White House tries to undo or recut some of these deals?
The different deals that you mentioned play out differently for the industry. What any president needs to know is that the industry plans on 2, 3, 4 year cycles for new models. It plans much further out on new technology. And so decisions about whether plants are going to be opened or closed or whether models are going to be located in different places are on a multi-year horizon, and jawboning in the short run may have some visible effects that are minor, but for the most part, those decisions are made long in advance. The real issue with NAFTA is that that's something that has grown the auto industry in terms of trade not just within North America, but also exporting from North America globally. TPP was actually going to sacrifice some gains for Japan in the auto industry against the U.S. in exchange for hegemony relative to China. So if you talk to industry folks, they would say, keep NAFTA, but they were not as enthusiastic about TPP.
So, Joel, if you're an auto worker now in Michigan or Ohio or Tennessee or Alabama, for that matter, and you followed the campaign and you followed the cheerleading that President Trump did for the auto industry sort of as this harbinger for his rebuilding of the American working class, how are you feeling now about the future of your industry and the future of your employment?
Well, and you're right to say that that auto worker could be anywhere up and down the middle of the United States. It's not just in the upper Midwest anymore. I would have to think that most of those folks would worry that Trump really hasn't leaned in to understand the inner workings of how this industry operates. I would want a president who is not just advocating for jobs in general, but who understands how those jobs really get created.
Joel Kutcher-Gershenfeld is a professor at the Heller School for Social Policy and Management at Brandeis University. Joel, thanks so much.
Indeed a pleasure, Todd.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.